Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. It's good to be in church tonight. Amen. It just seems like every service it gets better and better. It seems to get more and more back to normal. And just thanking the Lord for all he's done today and the privilege we have to be here together in his word again. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 tonight. Once you find that, if you please stand together tonight as you read the word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to begin reading here in verse 38. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38. It says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded a sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou shouldest come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." Tonight I'm going to talk to you for a few moments on the person God uses. The person God uses. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the privilege we have, Lord, to look through it together tonight. And I pray, God, that you would, Lord, just be with each and every one of us here at this moment. God, I pray that you put any distractions aside, any, Lord, thoughts aside, anything that could take away from what you have for us in your word. And God, that as we have an empty heart ready, we can receive what it is that you have for us to receive tonight. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. It's a Sunday night, and as we are here tonight, in Christians, the majority of us understand what God expects from us. Verses that we've heard our whole life, the Bible says that we are to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We know we are to go and disciple and bring people to Christ, disciple them so they can go out and do the same thing. And parents, there are children that need to be led. There's lost people at work that need to be reached. There's neighbors that need to be influenced. There are countless lost people in this world that need Christ. And we're here tonight with an understanding of our duties as Christians and how we are to go out in this world and to reach others, and how we are to be different than the world and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ so we can all be a light in this world that we live in. We have a very clear understanding of those things. But with an awareness of our duty, with an awareness of the obligation that we have as Christians to live for Christ and to be used of God and to make a difference for him, there's still so many Christians tonight possibly in here that in their heart had this question, can God use me? There may be young people here tonight that you're thinking of the life that is ahead of you, and you may be wondering, can God really use me? Can I make a difference for God? There might be adults in here tonight that you look at your life, you look at your past, you look at where you came from, and you have the question in your heart, can God use me? And there's many people in here tonight that know God can use them. And if you understand God can use you, a question that I ask myself all the time, evaluating and looking into my own heart is God using me? Is God using you? What have you been doing for the Lord? What does God use you to do in the life that you are living right now? 150 years ago, a preacher by the name of Henry Varley said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him." As he was preaching that message, there was a young man in the audience named D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody heard that message and wrote that quote down in his Bible. And in his heart, he said, "By God's grace, I'll be that man." And he shared that story throughout his ministry. By God's grace, I'll be that man. I'll be fully surrendered. I'll be used of God because I've done what I've needed to do. D.L. Moody went on to shake two continents for the cause of Christ. 100 million people, they say, heard him preach in his lifetime. Thousands upon thousands were saved because of the ministry of a young man who said, "I'll be that man." I'm here tonight in front of you. I want to be a person that God uses. I want God to use me in my life. And the Lord is looking for men, women, boys, and girls that can be filled with the Spirit with a desire to be used of him and make a difference for him in this world. We can be that person that God uses. In this very familiar passage, a story that we've heard most of our life, we have a young man named David who God used. When no one else around him would step up and try to defeat this Philistine, God used David to do an extraordinary thing, one of the greatest victories we find in the Word of God. I just want to preach on this thought tonight, the person God uses. The person God uses. First thing we see here is that God uses the ordinary. God uses the ordinary. Look back at chapter 16, just one page back here, chapter 16. In verse 6, this is an account we're very familiar with as well. God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to find the king of Israel. And we look here in verse 6, it says, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked upon Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Jesse made Shammah to pass by. He said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither. And we know the rest of that story. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We just saw there in 1 Samuel 16, David was an afterthought by his father. Samuel was looking for the next king of Israel, and he saw some young men that looked sharp, that looked strong, that looked ready, and they were not the one that God had. And David, an afterthought, a young shepherd boy, a teenager, was the one God had. God is no respecter of persons. And we look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. It said, But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. We have a God that uses the unknown and ordinary because he will receive the most glory that way. We can think of so many stories and so many testimonies of people that seemed like there was no chance that God would ever do anything with them. And we see all that God can do with the weak. All that God can do with the ordinary. I remember having to do a book report as a kid, and I had a hard time standing in front of my classmates and getting full sentences out without stuttering and forgetting what I was going to say. I couldn't think of the next sentence that needed to be said. And God called me to preach at the age of 14. And all through high school, I'm thinking, how in the world could I ever really do this? I surrendered to it. God prompted my heart to surrender to it. But it was a doubt that I carried with me. I refused to take opportunities to preach when they were presented to me. And I remember third year of Bible college in homiletics class, sitting in front of my computer, just staring at it for hours. Nothing was happening. And I'm thinking, how in the world am I ever going to put a message together? And I remember all these doubts I had in myself and finally came to a conclusion, it's not about me. It's about the God who called me. And God is using someone ordinary, someone very untalented in this circumstance to be able to preach tonight. And it's an incredible thing to me. I thought I'd never be up here. D.L. Moody, we mentioned him just a few minutes ago. He was just a poor boy that worked in a shoe store. Reached by a man, he went to church. He, in his heart as a young man, wanted to dedicate his life to the Lord and be used of God. Thousands and thousands of people were reached. He had a work there in Chicago that his effect is still there today. And Charles Spurgeon heard all that Moody was doing and invited D.L. Moody to come and preach for him. And Charles Spurgeon had this greatest anticipation of this man from Chicago that could preach and that souls were going to be saved. And as Charles Spurgeon is hearing D.L. Moody for the first time, he wrote about it. He said that he was just embarrassed for him. He's sitting there in the pew listening to D.L. Moody preach, and he's thinking, how in the world is this guy able to influence anybody? And as the message came to a close, hundreds of people in his church ran to the aisle. An ordinary person that God used. 35 years ago, an ordinary man and a group of ordinary people were meeting on Washington Street on a second-story building. And look where we are today. Look in the Word of God, we find Moses. See what God did with him. A man that said, I'm not eloquent. A man that made a mistake and murdered an Egyptian. God used him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. We see the 12 disciples, a group of misfits that God used. In the book of 2 Kings, we find four lepers that were outside the gate starving to death. And God used these four lepers to find food for the whole city. God is no respecter of persons. And may we never reach a point in our life where we think that God will not use us. That God can't use us to reach the lost. That God can't use us to raise children in the right way in this world that we live in. That God can't use us to teach a Sunday school class. Or God can't use us to have an influence for right on someone in this world. God uses the ordinary. See, secondly, God uses the obedient. God uses the obedient. Obedient people are used by God. 1 Samuel chapter 17. A little bit before our text, verse 17 of chapter 17. David had been anointed to be the future king of Israel at this point. He's still working in the fields for his father. And it says, and Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went. And Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. David was sent on a mission by his father that any of the servants of Jesse could have done. David could have been, Dad, did you forget what Samuel just said? Do you forget that God chose me to be king and you want me to take food to my brothers at battle? I'm above that. But he didn't. He went and did what his father told him to do. And we look here in this passage of scripture, we find David being obedient with this mundane task and the door that was opened because David did what was asked of him. David went, and what happened? He saw the need, and eventually he defeats a giant, all because he was obedient to his father and taking food to his brothers and to the men that were fighting. There's a lot of mundane tasks in Christianity. There's a lot of mundane tasks in the life of church and things that need to be done, things that are done behind the scenes and different things in ministry that may not always be enjoyed by the one doing them. But we must remain obedient to what God has called us to do. We must remain obedient in the things that we've surrendered to do for the Lord. And not look at the task as mundane tasks that have been assigned, but look to reap the benefits and look to reap the blessings from doing what it is that God's commanded us to do. The people used by God are willing to do those kind of things. Look at Psalms chapter 84. It says, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Sometimes we get weary in well-doing. Sometimes we get weary in the repetitiveness of the task at hand, doing the same thing over and over, and sometimes doing the same thing over and over and over and over, and if we remain blinded, not seeing the results of our labor for the Lord. Sometimes the things we do for God may not show results, but we must trust God to use us in the things he's called us to do. God uses the obedient. Adoniram Judson, one of the more familiar missionaries to have ever lived, and he graduated from college and seminary and was very high up in his class, very well respected. He received a call to be an assistant pastor at a very large church and the Boston area, one that would pay him well, one that eventually he'd become the pastor himself, and he began to receive congratulations from his mother, his sister, and many different people in town of this wonderful offer, this wonderful ministry position that he received. And as they were congratulating him, he looked at him and he said, "My work is not here." He said, "God's calling me beyond the seas. To stay here even to serve God in his ministry, I feel would be only partial obedience, and I could never be happy in that." So he went to Burma, and they say 50,000 converts have come from the influence of his ministry in Burma. You know, we understand as Christians what God expects from us. We're aware of the commandments of our calling, and there's people in this auditorium tonight that have felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God to do something. And it may be something that you think might be too hard for you. It may be something that could make you uncomfortable. God is pressing on your heart to do something that's making you step out of your comfort zone. Or maybe he's calling you to do something that you think you'd never see results from, so why even try? But we must be determined to be obedient to the commands of God. Be obedient to the call of God. To be obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit when he prompts us to witness to that person or to mend that relationship or possibly even to surrender to a call of ministry. Whatever it is that God is prompting us to do, we must be determined to be obedient in those things. And God will not call us to do something that he will not enable you to do. God uses the ordinary. God uses the obedient. Thirdly tonight, God uses the committed. God uses the committed. He uses the committed in the midst of obstacles. Look at verse 4 of chapter 17. "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." That is big. Look at verse 32 of chapter 17. "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine.'" Nobody else wanted to try it. Nobody else was willing to go and fight this extremely large man, but David, a young shepherd boy, saw an obstacle in front of him and remained committed to the task at hand for God. He was determined to honor God despite the size and power of Goliath, and his eyes were not on the problem, his eyes were on the solver of the problem.
I saw a funny story from Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Army Specialist Jeff Lewis, 23 years old, jumped out of an airplane for the first time ever after never receiving any training. A solo jump. He landed unhurt and said he was just doing what a good soldier is supposed to do, follow orders. After he landed, some higher up ranking men realized there was a clerical error sent to a supply clerk with the 82nd Airborne Division. No formal training, jumped out of the plane. And this is his direct quote. He said, "The Army said I was airborne qualified. I wasn't going to question it." He was committed even when there were obstacles. We need to be committed in obstacles. We also need to be committed in the midst of temptation. Look at verse 23. "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." David is here, and he said, you know, somebody needs to do this. I want to go, and I want to fight this giant. And as David has this desire in his heart, all the Israelite soldiers are going the opposite direction. David sees all these men that he may have respected his whole life, men that were strong, men that would win all of the wrestling matches on the playground, and men that were twice his size. And David sees all these men around him going the opposite direction. And David, as a young boy, could have said, you know what, they're not going. I'm not going. He sees no one else committed to fighting this giant, and he himself had, in the flesh, a very good reason to just turn away and wait till the next one. God's called me to be king. I don't know if I could defeat this giant. He called me to be king, and maybe he doesn't want me to fight the giant. He has all these thoughts going through his head. But David remained committed, even with the temptation to run. Now, for the Christian, there's going to be many opportunities to stop. There's going to be many opportunities in your life to walk away from the Christian life. There's going to be many opportunities in your life to give in to temptation, that you just need a break and you can't take this life anymore. And sometimes it's just too hard, and what's the use? You may see all the things that's going on in your world. You may see people that you once respected that were living for God that are no longer living for God, or people that you once looked up to that maybe mentored you or brought you along, someone that maybe possibly led you to the Lord that is no longer living for God. And you see those things and you're like, what's the point in even doing it myself? We need to remain committed in the temptations, knowing that God can and still use us to do a great work for him, knowing that our life is not about us, but about God. Stay committed. In obstacles and temptation and in opposition. Verse 28. "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Verse 33. "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." David surrendered to do something for God. David surrendered to be used of God, and his oldest brother and the king of the Israelites told him that he's not supposed to be doing that. You're not going to defeat him. What are you doing anyways? This is all about you. I don't believe your motivations are pure in what you are doing. And David hears all of this opposition, all these people against what he surrendered to do for God, but he remained committed. The Bible tells us all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's going to be people in your life, people that you come across, whether it's at work or family members, that just question everything you do in the Christian life. You're going to give 10% of your paycheck to God? And you give money to missions on top of that? That doesn't make any sense to me. Are you telling me you're going to pay extra money for Christian education for your kids when you could receive free education that is far superior than what you're receiving? You mean to tell me that you're not gonna go with us to this place of recreation every weekend and you wanna skip that and go to church? There's a lot of opposition in the Christian life. Think about the last time you witnessed to somebody that didn't receive it as you hoped. The ridicule you may receive at work for the decisions that you make in the Christian life, there's much opposition. But we need to remain committed. The Gettysburg Address is a speech that many of us have heard. I know many in here maybe had to memorize it for school. It's very well known, very powerful. Made a huge difference in our history. After Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address, he received a lot of criticism. One newspaper said, "There's an overpowering immediacy in these plain words." The Harrisburg Patriot talked about the address Lincoln had and said they were silly remarks. The New York World accused Lincoln of gross ignorance or willful misstatement. The Chicago Times, they said, "The cheek of every American must tingle with shame as he reads the silly, flat, and dishwatery utterances of the man who has been pointed out to intelligent foreigners as the President of the United States." It's all fake news, right? In the world we live in, there is always going to be opposition to your decisions as a Christian. But we must continue on. Don't stop at the attacks of the enemy. Don't stop because you've been ridiculed by a friend. Don't stop because of the mockery you may receive, but make the choice to remain committed. And as Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." God uses the committed. See, God uses the ordinary. God uses the obedient. God uses the committed. And lastly tonight, God uses the dependent. The dependent. Those that rely on him. Look here at verse 42 of chapter 17. "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, 'Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field.' Then David said to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David was up against the greatest enemy he had faced in his life. He was outmatched, but he had confidence in his God. Any battles won in your life will be won because of God. If you're ever used for God in this life, it's not because of you. It's because of God. David was extremely confident in returning and turning this statement around that Goliath made to him back at him. "God's not gonna, my carcass isn't gonna be eaten, your carcass is gonna be eaten. I'm not gonna be defeated, you're gonna be defeated." And David, his confidence didn't come from his stature. His confidence didn't come from his maturity. His confidence didn't come from his experience in battle. His confidence came because of his Almighty God. You know, if we compare ourselves to the task at hand, we're never going to be enough. We're always going to lose. But we can compare whatever obstacles in front of us or whatever calling God's placed in our life and look to the power of God. It's always enough. You know, the secret to trusting God is not focusing on the task at hand, but focusing on God. God is always greater. Always greater. Person God uses is dependent on God. We know the rest of the story. The giant Goliath was defeated by a shepherd boy with a sling and a rock. And all the earth knew there's a God in Israel. God used an ordinary young man that was an afterthought with his father, that was looking after sheep, that wasn't strong enough to hold the armor of the king of Israel to defeat the enemy no one else could defeat. Because of his God. Around 1948-49, there was a young man that lived in Paducah, Kentucky. His father was an alcoholic. He had died long before. He was the oldest of all of his family, and he took care of all his brothers and sisters, took care of his mom. His mom took a lot of odd jobs trying to make ends meet, and he, being the oldest, took care of his mom and his brothers and sisters as much as he could. And he was at the gas station one day, and a car with some men in it drove up, and he said, "Where are you headed?" They said, "We're going to Detroit. There's jobs up there. We can go build cars and make a lot of money." They said, "You want to go with us?" And he said, "Yeah, let me go tell my mom." So he went home, and an hour later went back with some bags, and he told his mom he was going to move up to from Paducah, Kentucky to Detroit, Michigan. He's going to send money and take care of her. Shortly after he got to Detroit, Michigan, he found a young woman that had been without her mother since she was just a child. And he thought she was beautiful, wanted to get to know her more, and asked her to go out with him. And she said, "I won't go anywhere with you, but you can come to revival with me, and you can sit by me there." He was saved. They eventually got married. He got out of the automotive manufacturing and became a preacher and planted churches and worked in many different areas of ministry for the Lord and reached many, many people. That was my grandma and grandpa. Because of their choices in their life, I am where I am today. I grew up in ministry. I went to Bible college. I'm standing here in front of you tonight. It was all because a young teenage girl was committed to the calling God placed on her life. Are you in a position for God to use you tonight? You know, God wants to use you. God can use you. But if we want to be used, we need to be obedient. We need to be committed. We need to be reliant on the one who can use us. I want to be a person God uses. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Maybe you're here tonight. You're examining your heart, examining your life, and you come to a realization that you haven't really done much for the Lord as of late. Things are different. Ministries have been put on hold, and in the area of ministry, you feel somewhat empty, and you feel like you haven't done what it is God has for you to do. Make that decision tonight to be a person that God uses. Maybe you're here tonight and you've just never thought you would be capable or it was possible for you to be used of God. Can I tell you tonight, He can, He will. But there's some things you must do. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you've chosen us as Christians to go out and to reach the world with the gospel, to be the light in this world. I pray tonight that you just bless this time of invitation. We ask this in your name.